Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is Susie. Welcome back,
That's
Susie.
Right. What's up, everybody? Hope everybody's having a good time. Kind of on a side note here, I don't know if some of you have been following me on Facebook, but I've been doing a countdown to spring thing since we've been 40 days out to spring, and now we're down to five.
And that those have been some entertaining videos and photos, to say the least.
Right, you gotta make it interesting and intriguing. And I was kind of surprised but not surprised at the comments on my post yesterday. I posted the video of me snagging the snake, and I mean, like, everybody was just like, yep, nope, I just would have thrown the rod in the water and just called it a day. Yep, and then today, of course, is my my alligator one, too. So if you haven't seen it, it's a little bit of a treat.
Sounds like you're practicing for the multi-species tournament, I think, you know?
I mean, yeah, could be, you know? Yeah, of course, that that snake video is, gosh, I think that's like 3 years old, 3 or 4 years ago. God, man, time is just like getting away from me.
What did you end up doing with that?
So I kind of wrapped it up in my net, and just, it had actually kind of got stuck in one of the net holes. And so, like, when it did that, then I just kind of like, put my catch board over the top of its head, got the hook out, and then just kind of, you know, got him a little loose out of the net, and back in the water he went.
Nice. Nice.
Yep. So yeah. Interesting times for sure.
Well, for as you folks know, we're kind of building up to our Dale Hollow Open here, and tonight's guest is no stranger to Dale Hollow. It's actually where I first met him, and he's been on the Noob Show a few times. He's been on Paddle and Fin quite a few times, as he's done rather well at tournaments, you know, here and there. So I'd just like to welcome Adam Reiser back to the Noob Show. So welcome back, Adam.
Sean, Susie, good to be talking to y'all again. Thanks for having me on. If we got to talk about Dale Hollow, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. So happy to be here and getting into it.
All I remember is from my first trip to Dale Hollow was that big, huge cabin we had, and then you were kind of holding court in the basement on a couch. I think we could have sold tickets to those couches.
Oh, yeah. Because
there's a little ping pong going on in the background, which was a little distracting, but otherwise there's just a ton of guys sitting around just talking fishing. And man, that was some good conversation. But
yeah, that whole house was just, I don't think there was anyone in here that wasn't having a good time. Well, at least for the time being, fast forward a few hours later, maybe talk to a few individuals, they may have a different story. But at least there was a small period of time when everyone was enjoying things.
I'm guessing Ryan probably doesn't remember that very much either, so it's probably okay.
Yeah, as long as we do and can remind him of it. That's
well, there's video evidence, you know, there's no need to remember.
Oh, shoot.
But any for the folks who for some reason wouldn't be familiar with you, which, with anybody who's watched the show for any length of time, I can't imagine that they wouldn't. But just let folks know who you are, kind of where you're from, and a quick how you got into fishing and kayak fishing.
Sure. Adam Reiser. I'm here in the Nashville, Tennessee area. I've basically done all my kayak fishing, at least tournaments and stuff here in the Nashville areas where I got into it. And now I've hit the tournament trails nationally, been doing that for years now. About, I don't know, 3 years into doing guiding. I don't stay terribly busy with it, but that's just by choice. I'd rather stay on the trails than sprinkling guide trips in between. I really like my winter guide trips too. Grew up in Alabama, spent my 20s in California, kind of got away from surfing and got into bass fishing and really just haven't looked back since. And just been catching bass out of a kayak and haven't found anything that I like better doing than that. So that's what I choose to occupy my free time with is seeing if I can catch a bass wherever I go.
Awesome. I'm sure that's taking you to some pretty cool places too. You know, if you had to pick like a favorite or two, or where would you say you've had the most, I don't know, the most fun, or what the best way to term that is, but
it's so fresh on my mind because I'm only two or three days removed from it. So this has got to be my answer. But we just wrapped up the Hobie Bass Open at Caddo Lake down in Shreveport, Louisiana. That lake is half in Texas, half in Louisiana. It's the only natural lake in the state of Texas. It's just a giant cypress swamp. It looks like you've been transported back in time. It's 10 out of a 10 scenery. I've been there in the fall when the colors are happening. Right now, like, the greenery ain't popping yet. It's still gorgeous no matter what it is. It's great fishing. So if anyone's asked me, like, oh, if I were to, you know, have a destination or anything, it's hard for me not to recommend Lake Caddo down there in East Texas right now. Again, fishing, scenery, wildlife, Cajun food. I like to get in the mix of my Cajun food.
Oh,
down there.
Yes.
Man, that's just hard to beat. Like, as soon as I left, I was already, you know, thinking about, man, when can I come here next? I need an excuse to come back down here. So heading down to the swamps, that or Sandy Cooper, I think as kayak anglers, any of these cypress swamps allow you to explore some areas that the boats probably don't get to, or if they do get to, they're too noisy, therefore disturbing the stuff. So I think our kayak community gets an extra special slice of the cypress swamp. So I could go a lot of different directions with that answer, Sean, but I'm going to go with the cypress swamp. That's what I'll go with.
Cool. That. Well, just looking at the bags that came out of that, that makes me want to go. Just all, if that alone was the only thing, only information I had, I'd be, you know, booking a trip because, man, there was a lot of friggin' big fish.
There's people that travel to Lake Caddo from around the world for photography. When we were down there for the TOC back in November, there were people that traveled from literally halfway around the world to have their wedding photos taken there.
And like, wow.
It's no joke, man. Like but once you get there and see why people would travel there, you're like, oh, I get it. You know, I don't blame you for traveling or spending any amount of money for what your eyeballs get to intake there. It's special.
Cool.
It's definitely on my bucket list to go there again because I was down there in 2018 or 2019 for the KBF National Championship.
One of those. I was there
one of those too. 2 years. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it might have been 18.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
18. Yeah, and so it was March, I think. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Really close to now. Really close to the same time.
Yes.
Really good time.
Yeah, and so I mean, even then, like. The trees and the scenery down there. And then of course, you know, the fishing too, but then like, you know, seeing how it could be, you know, in the later fall and whatnot, like mm-hmm. I definitely want to get down there during the fall time just to, you know, embrace the beauty of it and the scenery of it.
It's nothing better. It's 10 out of a 10, man. That's the place.
Maybe we need to talk to Brian about having the next Paddle and Fin open.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Dude, it's a really good idea. Open up Bistano. That's a popular thing, too. That mm-hmm. lake's about an hour away. And it's got its own vibe going, and it's great fishing, too. So, yeah, I'm going to encourage anyone that's got a fishing idea for the Shreveport area. They're on the right track, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That would save Doodoo a trip. Right? Has the longest drive out of all us hosts to get to Dale Hollow.
So. And he doesn't, too. Respect to that.
Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh, he does. He works all day and then drives. I'm like, I don't know how you do that, man. I wouldn't make it. But speaking of Dale Hollow, you know, obviously we're going to be heading down there pretty soon. And, you know, unfortunately, I know Adam's schedule didn't quite line up with it this year. So when I talked to him about coming on, he was like, well, you know what, you know, that might be a good opportunity for me to kind of speculate what I would do and kind of teach us how he would approach it, you know, and kind of help anybody who might be coming down to, you know, do a little pre-fishing homework and figure out some potential strategies. So,
and especially for our lady, Cheryl, who's going to be driving down. Well, either driving or flying, I don't think she decided yet, but she was our noob championship winner who's, you know, getting her entry and stay cover because she was the winner of that. And so she was asking me this past weekend, she's like, I don't even know where to start. And I'm just like, well, we're going to have Adam Reiser on our next podcast. So that'll definitely be a good episode for you to listen to. So, you know, she's from Maine, you know, and it's a long haul for her. She's never been to Dale Hollow. So, you know, kind of gearing this towards, okay, you've never been to Dale Hollow. And then you look at it on a map and then you're like, holy crap, what do I do?
Yep. It's a tough lake to break down. I categorize it more the more difficult lakes, especially your first time or two there. But there's not a person that I know that once they give it a couple tries, even if they have a couple tough goes at it, once they unlock it that one time, or they run into that one like wolf pack of smallmouth, or they get that PB smallmouth out of there, then it's addicting. Then you want to go over and over, and you're like, I know that there's a bite to be unraveled here, and that place has got them. So there's an allure to it. I mean, look, it's a world record lake. You can't say that about hardly any places, right? Now, will there be another world record coming out of there? Personally, I don't think there will be, but it's still loaded with big fish, brown fish, green fish, other species are really healthy there too. It's another destination lake. It's a place you want to be. If you want, I'll go ahead and jump into kind of maybe how I'd break some stuff down or some considerations for any audience or anyone that's thinking about doing this trip or really any future ones too. But we'll talk in the mindset of people coming down for this Paddle and Fin event, mm-hmm. which on the calendar, it's about as good of a calendar date as you can pick out of the whole year, personally. Springtime, you never know what kind of weather you're going to get. So, yeah, you could get some kind of crazy thunderstorm the day before or a front that is commonplace. But in general, if you're playing your odds good, those dates are about as good. Where are the exact dates again? Just so I can. So
April 22nd and 23rd.
Okay, that's where I thought it was. Man, instead of jumping right into the lake itself, let's break it down for the different type of I'm gonna break it down into two kinds of anglers or that approach. If you're comfortable with shallow water and you like fishing the bank, I would say stay towards up the rivers and on more toward the east end of the lake. And then those of you that want to lean on your electronics, especially those that have the forward facing capabilities, you're going to want to go close to the dam. Any of the number of creeks or areas out in the main lake there, close to the dam. This is going to be a tournament where, given the time of year, now if we're in like dead of winter or something, I'd say like you want to go just lean on straight electronics. But this is going to be one where guys that could have no electronics on the boat can go and just run shallow water and find warmer water temperatures where those fish that want to move shallow are going to be there. And then the guys that want to fish with the fish that maybe aren't wanting to go super shallow yet, you can use some electronics down in some of the cleaner, clearer water down that way. So it's whatever you want to do. And if you talk to Richard, They'll tell you just go fish straight out of the marina there at Eastport, which is not a bad idea because that's where you can just go and run the bank and fish shallower and be in your comfort zone. So even though it's an intimidating lake, don't be intimidated by it. Know that there's fish from end to end on that thing. You can catch them anywhere. I think the scenery is probably a little bit better in that deeper, clear stuff. Maybe that's half the reason why I've always fished there. It's a little closer to Nashville too. Honestly, that's why I started fishing that end of the lake, because it was the closest to Nashville. So when I wanted to start exploring that lake, I was like, well, I'm going to go, you know, it's a minimum of 2 hour drive from my old doorstep when I was really fishing Doe Hollow pretty hard. But don't be intimidated. If it's a Highland Reservoir, if those are out of your wheelhouse, don't worry about it. If you feel like you can, you know, there's the big topic in kayak fishing and bass fishing in general. If you ain't got the latest and greatest electronics, do you even got a chance? Absolutely you do. So don't be intimidated by any of that. But if you do have those things, use them to your advantage or spend some time and try to get cozy with them and make them work on Doe Hollow, because it's a really good lake for it. Do you guys happen to know what the moon phase is? I apologize. I got in here a little late and I meant to pull that up. If we can take a look at the moon phases, both the new and the full in the month of April, you can find that information with what the water's doing, if it's coming up or down. And that's where my mind goes to next.
So on Saturday, April 22nd, we're going to be on a waxing crescent moon.
When's the full moon in
April? The full moon before that will be Wednesday, April 5th.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
And then the new moon is when? I know it'll be after the term, but when is
that? Yep, the new moon is the new moon's April 19th, so just before.
Okay, so in my opinion, that new moon, you can kind of treat it like a full moon. It's going to motivate those fish. It's going to make them want to slide up and look for their spawning stuff. So coming off of that moon by a couple days, and you'll land on that new moon during practice. Then you can talk about water temperature. Are you going to have spawners? You know, when you get into that time of year down in this region, down in Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, you get into the month of April, you need to be thinking about what's the spawning pattern and going on in your body of water. So temperatures, you're just looking for your basic spawning temperatures. The shallower you go and the more south-facing banks, they're going to be exposed to sunlight. They're going to warm up. Those are the kind of places I'm going to look for to start, or at least go and look, okay, that you can find your warmest water by going there and go, okay, the lake it gets this warm maximum. Now let's go see if there's activity elsewhere. But the Doe Hollow being a Highland Reservoir, they really fluctuate that water level in that place. It's not like a lowland place where, 6 inches or a foot is a big deal. This is a place where one season to the next, it can be 13 foot fluctuation. And it's been pretty drastic fluctuations the last several years. That water.
I was going to say it's looked like a different place almost every time I've been there.
Yes.
Right. And it has been one year, the paddle and fin tournament, I won it sight fishing because it was like a foot or two or three flooded up into the woods.
Yes.
So you get a lot of kayak back up in there. And I was catching fish where, for probably the last couple of years it's probably been dry land on those spots since that tournament, almost, maybe with a couple exceptions that I'm unaware of, but, and then you have another tournament where the water's, -6, -7 foot below full pool. And, you know, a lot of the targets that you caught fish on the spring before, again, clear out of the water. So that's why I say, like, you can kind of make a good guess based on the temperatures, water temperature, air temperature, and the trends on that, on what the fish are going to be doing. But as far as where they're going to be doing it, that water level is going to really dictate stuff too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's rising water, they're probably going to follow with it pretty good too. There's going to be a population of fish that'll go with it. But then if they're pulling water out and it maybe has been up for a while, you got to find the next stopping point where those fish that were living up shallow want to kind of come back down to. But sometimes in the spring, even if the water is falling, those fish can be so motivated by the moon and by the water temperatures that they'll still push shallow, even with some falling water. So we'll just have to see what the rain is coming up, leading up to that tournament, mm-hmm. a couple weeks up to it. Go look, you can literally just Google Del Hollow water level, and you'll get some stuff, or you can use the TVA app. Sometimes they don't update those numbers, but you can at least, I believe, find what Del Hollow's full pool level is and find somewhere on the internet what the current water level is and do that math. And so even if the chart, this will make sense once you look it up, even if the chart on the TVA app is not showing or isn't accurate, you can still do some math and before you even leave your doorstep, know the lake's down -6, -8, or +2, whatever it is. I haven't checked. I've been gone fishing other places lately, but those are where I go to next in my mind as far as my considerations on what mood the lake might be in. Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to, you know, fish spawning and temperatures, what is usually the range of temperatures that those fish are going to start spawning?
Mm-hmm. Region by region, that's going to change a little bit. So we'll talk more of like the, you know, the Tennessee region. I feel like usually about 58, and of course there's always exceptions on the extremes here, hot and cold, but usually 58 to 62, so you might as well just call it 60. That's when your first wave of the spring will go up. And who knows, there may already be a wave that if there's a warm enough trend during that April 5th moon or whatever we said it was, that could be the first wave of spawners going up then. And the second wave could be the new moon fish for the tournament. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you just never know. If you get a massive cold front, those fish are going to hit the pause button and stay in pre-spawn mode and stay in those areas. But like I said, you get warming trends, both in water and air temperature, and it's all going the right direction, then those fish are going to go shallow. They're going to look to try to spawn wherever it is or however it is that year.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at the water level right now. It says it's 7 feet below full pool.
That sounds right. So I believe that. And I'll tell you all this. I've been on the road for tournaments the last few days, but I've been trying to loosely keep up with some Del Hollow fishing reports. And by everything I can understand, it sounds like it's about as good of a fishing as you could possibly ask for right now, especially the smallmouth. I've had clients this week that did trips with me a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, getting clearing 90 inches no problem out of the kayak, catching PB smallmouth, clearing 20 inches, clearing 21 inch smallmouth. All the boat tournaments that I've heard from boat tournament guys that they're catching. So an over smallmouth on Del Hollow Lake is over 21 inches. I forget what the exact slot limit is, maybe 17 to 21. But anyway, if you're in a bass boat tournament there, you basically can't target smallmouth because you can catch a 5 pound, 20 and a half incher, but you're not allowed to box that
thing. That's right. Yep.
And it sounds like the last few tournaments that they've had, bass boat tournaments, guys are able to box smallmouth. Why? Because they're bigger than 21 inches.
Wow.
Biggins are getting caught. That's good news. No surprise, but conditions are looking good. Whereas, like, you know, last spring during some tournaments we had, it felt like spring was just really delayed and really late. We were fishing winter patterns in the month of April. So
yeah.
The fact that, like Richard was saying, if you're already running into some spring conditions this early on, and I don't know about y'all, we got trees blooming down here that this is the earliest spring that I've seen in my limited fishing history knowledge when I actually pay attention to all that kind of stuff. That being said, literally after tonight, we're getting a big cold front coming through.
Yeah.
We're getting the, you know, the icy stuff. So it's like they call it that fall spring a little bit. But there are without a doubt reports on Tennessee right now. I don't got it for Del Hollow, but I know like Chickamauga, supposedly there's beds. Gunnersville's had beds. This is early. Like we're hitting a lot of stuff early.
Wow.
Now there's still a big wave of fish regionally that are on their normal schedule pretty much. But there's definitely a wave of fish that have gotten to get the green light a little earlier than normal. So that's one thing. But fish reports from Del Hollow right now, sounds like it don't get any better.
Nice. So just random question. I don't know if you know this either, but so, you know, let's say fish have come up and they've spawned, and let's say there's a really nasty cold front that comes in and kind of lingers for a couple weeks. And, you know, those water temperature drops, does that like affect how they're, if they're going to stay on their beds, like the survival rate, just if you even know that?
This is more my opinion with a little bit of science mixed in, but more observation and bouncing talk off of my buddies and everything, because all we do is talk about fishing and what we see and experience out there. The male bass and the female bass, the male bass will spend way more time up on that bed than the female generally. He'll go up first, get it all ready. The female will come up, do her thing. I feel like females don't stay up longer than just a couple days. Some of them less than a day, but I just like a couple days is about average, and then they're gone. And then that male may linger around for several days, as long as a couple weeks sometimes. So you got way more of a chance of sliding up on a better potential bed and catching that buck bass than you do the female. That's why if you're practicing or like, you know, I've been down in Florida and Texas, Louisiana the last few weeks, and we've been post-spawn or very much in the middle of the spawn. So I've been around that right now. So that's kind of where my mind is in fishing. I got to go to Chickamauga here in a couple of days for a tournament. It's going to be weird going into pre-spawn mode. Where I've been doing all this post-spawn stuff, but if front comes through, it'll probably not, like a cold front comes through, it may knock the female off the bed, whether she's dropped her eggs or not. They'll probably be fine. It's only when you pull water out and that nest is now on dry land. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the death sentence, I suppose, of the nest. But other than that, even if the bass like vacate the bed during a super cold front, I imagine the bluegill and other stuff that may be the pest to the nest may abandon it too. But by and large, your buck's going to be up there the longest. The female's going to be up there for just a brief window of time. But that's how you know where they're on the schedule. If you're running the females, or you're running into just the bucks, you know, maybe the females are on the way, or maybe they already left. So if you kind of know that the fish by and large are going to go by a certain schedule, you can fill them out. And that's how we've been filling them out for these tournaments. Even if you're just in one bay or one cove or one area, you're like, man, I'm catching all bucks here and no females, and it looks like they've already done their thing. So maybe I need to be looking where they leave.
The next stop on the road, right?
Yeah, which is, and a lot of times it's the same stop where they came in on too. So
right,
if it's springtime, I like starting at the extreme back and then working my way out, because I can usually find something there.
Okay, it's a good method.
And I know one of the last times we had you on was after you had done pretty well in our tournament when a lot of people had struggled. Now it was a little bit rougher fishing that year. And we talked to you about long lining, if you remember. And, you know, that was kind of what you had done. And, but I imagine that's probably not your go-to technique. That's more of a, hey, it's rough fishing, that's what I'm going to try kind of thing, right?
I've got that long lining thing is definitely, won me some pay spots in a handful of Del Hollow tournaments, but that's a specific school of fish. One day they wanted one method. You know, you see me use that ice rod out there, Damiki rigging on them. Like one day they want that, another day they want the crankbait. So it just changes. Don't get too caught up in that long lining thing. It's actually a pain to do. I do not enjoy doing it. I enjoy catching fish and I enjoy getting paid to catch fish, but long lining is not fun. It's a hassle. And it's a unique thing. It's a specialty thing, but no, that was more just a group of fish, but that group of fish has been there for like the last three or four winters ever since I found him in that same spot. But what's crazy is that and those were all largemouth that I got, you know, people go to Doha for the smallmouth, but they got some really good largemouth in there too.
Yeah, I got my PB small or tied my PB largemouth right. last year. So, and that was on a crankbait. So
that's
yeah.
right. And
wasn't you know, Brent, a long lining, but
Brent Anderson, a big time Tennessee bass boat angler here. He caught like a bass that was right at 10 or like a fraction of an ounce under 10 pounds there last year, a largemouth in the tournament.
Wow.
Which, yeah. My eyes got big on that. Cause I was like, I didn't realize they got that big in there. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Heck so, yeah.
Yeah, both species are good. But what, you know, I'm super curious to see if Del Hollow is going to become a new lake to me because I've done one guide trip there since I've had LiveScope. LiveScope's a relatively new thing on my setup. And I had my mind blown. No joke. I had my mind blown. I caught my own personal PB smallmouth on my first cast of a smallmouth with LiveScope. I put a client on some fish there using it. And, you know, I knew it was the thing there, you know, and has been for the last few years in the tournaments. If you look at the big boat tournaments, but it's making me wonder, am I ever going to touch a largemouth there again? If those smallmouth are eating on the scope like that, but I got so much to learn and so much like it's kind of fun because I get to restart my whole fishing learning thing again with this LiveScope technology. But that is the lake for it. If you got it and you're cozy with it, there's no better place to give that a whirl there, especially in this tournament coming up. So anyone who's got that, you may want to talk to them at the boat ramp and ask them what they find out there. I'd be curious to know too.
Interesting. I haven't dove down that rabbit hole just yet. I've got a Lowrance unit that's capable of the forward-facing sonar. I just haven't, you know, pulled the money trigger on that just yet. You know what I mean?
And it is money, man. It ain't cheap.
Ooh, yeah, it's expensive as just the screen itself.
So. Yes, it is. I had to wait till like everything went on the mega sales during Black Friday and was still spending a big chunk of change for it, but my limited time with it so far, it's fun. It's not the end of bass fishing. It's not the make you a hero out of nowhere. I've still gone out and used it days and not caught a single fish with it. So, it opens up a whole new chapter to learn stuff about bass fishing. And, one of my favorite parts about fishing is just the learning part. So, I'm excited to really dive into it.
Definitely. So I know, kind of sort of myself included, because I'm not all that familiar with it, but I know some people are going to ask, well, what the heck is long lining?
Yeah, good. No, that's a very fair question because it's not a common thing. So you have deep cranking, which simply you just huck a big old crankbait out there that's a deep diver and you wind it down as deep as it'll go. Well, in my opinion, especially with most deep crankbaits, you make a long cast, the first third of the retrieve, it's getting down, the second third of the retrieve, it's digging in the zone. And then the last third of the retrieve, it's coming back up at you. And so if you've got, you know, if you've really got to get a crankbait deep or you need it to stay in the zone, one of the two or maybe both, the only way to do it is to just have it stay in that second part that I referred to as long as possible. Which is you basically just let out a ton of line. Now you can, the way I'll do it in the kayak, I'll cast out. When I first do it, I was in a bona fide, so I'm paddling. So I cast out, I would paddle away from my lure with my spool open or my bail open, however you want to call it. And let out at least another cast, a long cast length of line out. So I've got basically two cast lengths worth of line out. So you got to have the right rod and enough, you know, line on your spool to be able to do that. And then you start, once you got that line out, then you start winding it down. And what that'll do is it'll just extend the depth of that, whatever that crankbait is rated for on its diving depth. And then it'll stay in that diving zone longer. But you just had to burn a lot more calories just to make one cast and eat up a lot more time just to do that. And not to anyone's surprise, but if you put a deep diving crankbait down there on the bottom of the lake, you're going to get snagged up too. So you know, you're sacrificing time, so you got to go break out the plug knocker and get your crate bait back, and you're lucky if that even happens. And so it's a sacrifice. You're sacrificing a lot doing that technique. Mm-hmm. But if you're getting your lure in front of fish that don't see a crankbait at that depth ever, that can make the difference. And that's what it was for me. Nice. But yeah, long lining. I would implement it way more, your summertime ledges, month of June down here in the South. That's way more, you know, when you got to get it to that, like, 25 depth or 30 foot depth, like that's when you want to utilize something like that. But that's where those fish go post spawn. They'll go deep like that. So it's more of a summertime thing, I would say. I happen to use it in the wintertime, but Del Hollow, you can put an asterisk by that lake because you can do some weird stuff on that lake.
Awesome. I know we were talking about with Richard too about that a little bit last week, and that, you know, there really is, you know, almost any angler can find their strength there somewhere. Like you said, you know, if you're more comfortable offshore deep, there's definitely areas for that. But if you're a shallow water angler, you know, you can find that. There's pick your type of cover that you like. You can probably find it somewhere on that lake. So
that's the truth. And like I said, if we weren't in the springtime, I would say that, man, if you're just trying to run the bank, you're probably not going to run into as many fish, but the fish are going shallow in the spring. So if you just run the bank or stay shallow and do that way, in my opinion, you're just fine too. I'd be curious to know if you'd run into more smallmouth or largemouth, because I really don't fish like the east side of the lake much at all, and haven't much. And I know there's incredible fishing over there. It's a big place, and I've still got plenty to learn, and I'm still always checking on familiar stuff on the deep end of the lake where I tend to stay, but the whole place has got them, you know.
Well, I know last year last year we were there later, but I definitely ran into more largemouth in the shallow stuff. But
knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
I definitely didn't see as many smallmouth. Not that
places, there's certain creeks on Del Hollow that just tend to hold a few more largemouth. And I've run into largemouth on that lake where I wasn't expecting to as well, like groups of them, you know? So they're in there. It's just a really healthy place. The life in there, all the bass are healthy. One of my favorite things about it is that you don't run into much bycatch. It's not like you go to other places like, oh man, every other fish is a drum or has stripes on its sides. I am very, I have tunnel vision when it comes to fishing. I only care about largemouth, smallmouth, and spotted bass. I hate stripers. I hate drum. I hate everything. Like, I don't care about crappie. I'm not saying I'm wise for that. I'm saying I don't like anything except for bass. I don't even like hunting or anything. I just only care about bass. And so Del Hollow is great because anything I mark on my graph or anything I catch, it's almost always a bass, and it's hard to find a place like that. And if I do catch something that ain't a bass there, it's a walleye, and walleye are the most delicious things swimming in there. So maybe bring like a pan or propane thing and some seasoning with you, because you start getting in the walleye, you better call your buddy up and have a little shore lunch down there. But that may be my one exception. But then again, it's on my favorite lake, Del Hollow, so.
That's like me and catfish on the river. Every time I hook into something huge, I'm like, all right, it's a huge bass, this is awesome, and then it comes up and I'm like,
Catfish. I tell my clients, I'm like, Delhalla graphs more true than any lake. And what I mean by that is you can go on Tennessee River, and Tennessee River has, you know, you can run into a school of 100 drum or 100 some other type of fish out there. So, jeez. And a lot of those look the same size as big old bass. And so you'd be looking down there, and man, I don't know if I'm on the mother load of bass or if I'm on the mother load of junk fish out here. You know, Delhalla, like if you see a big group of them, they're probably the right ones. So it's a good one to learn. It's why the majority of my guide trips are electronics lessons on Delhalla. That seems to mix up majority of my work these days out there.
Cool.
Nice. So now we've talked about, you know, kind of breaking things down a little bit. You know, let's talk about maybe like specific techniques and baits and stuff you would be trying, you know, whether it be going from shallow or just to deep or whatnot.
Man, if you get some warm weather, don't be afraid to try top water or have one on. There's not a specific one. You know, if you want to put a bait up by a target or maybe a piece of wood in the water, a popper's good up there. Putting a walking bait on a point would be good. This is a, you know, warm trend, or like we're for sure into a warmer spring consideration here. Jerk baits are always good, especially in that clear water. Jerk bait anywhere, so you know it's hard to say. I feel like everyone should have a jerk bait tied on. All your soft plastic guys, your Ned riggers, your drop shotters, your shaky head guys, all that stuff's going to be really good. Those are going to be winning techniques right there. Terms get one on just Ned rigs out there. So if you're slow and low and you like to keep it simple and just drag something on the bottom, don't be afraid to do that at all. And normally I tell people you want to try to do it deeper on Delhalla, but again, you can do that stuff shallower, perhaps this time. So now don't be afraid to fish deep year round on Delhalla. It's a place where you can catch them year round, every single day of the year. But don't be afraid just to throw your plastics up shallow, whatever you like. Just green pumpkin, it's probably going to be clear water unless you get a blowout rain or something like that. Let's talk about that. If you get a blowout rain back there, pick up that spinner bait. I'll just go ahead and get that one out there, but that ain't no secret to anyone fishing out there. Grab that spinner bait. Let's say you had a bunch of rain leading up to the tournament and there's still some water flowing. It's a super typical Tennessee thing here. You go find that water flowing in the back of that pocket where it's coming in. You just throw that spinner bait around. Don't worry if it's colored up. And even if it is colored up, you can just throw a louder color spinner bait or throw a bigger thumping spinner bait. That's fun because normally you don't get to do a whole lot of like spinner baiting on Delhalla. But if you get some rain and some color in the water, that's a tried and true technique. If the water cools down, probably just your A rigs and your jerk baits, reaction baits, crank baits for sure. Whether you want to do the square bill thing up shallow, that'd probably be more of a warmer trend. But if it is a little bit of a cold snap or something, you may want to try to crank in that 5+ depth and closer, probably that 10-12 foot depth or something right there. Sounds really good. That may be deep to some people, but that's kind of a mid depth on Delhalla. If it got cold, break out them treble hook baits, those hard baits. And then, if you're on a warm trend, don't be afraid to soak a soft plastic up where you think there might be a fish spawning or something like that. Those are pretty good, just rule of thumbs to go into this tournament with, and have some top water on if it gets warm too. That can be, I mean, you catch them, but that's just fun.
Well, yeah. They can't go wrong with that.
Clear water, they can see it, so they'll come out. They'll chase it a good bit too out there.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just trying to think of. I know the very first fish I caught down there was on top water, and Jimmy Skinner, one of our hosts, was right next to me, and he's like, "I was like, I just saw a fish jump over there." He's like, "Well, throw this at it," and he handed me a rod with a spook on it, I think, and. I cast over there, and as soon as it hit the water, bam, you know, hit it up, and I jerked so hard I sent the fish flying and then the spook right back at Jimmy. He's like, "Oh, look out." So I was still new at that time, so Jimmy forgave me, but you know, definitely a fun experience. And that's why I did try it a little bit when we were down there in the fall, but it didn't I think the water was a little chilly then at that point for
Tahoe. It can be. I've been surprised at how late in the season they'll eat the smallmouth down there. They'll eat it pretty late into the winter down there. Whopper plopper, that's another one too. If you just want to burn the bank. Are y'all allowing motors in this one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, man, if you got a motor and you can kind of like just put that on like trolling motor speed, you can just burn the bank with a whopper plopper and do it. Maybe have a tournament strategy where you just make a million casts with a whopper plopper and you may not get as many bites, but just covering water like that, if you get the five right bites, then that's a way to do it. That could be a fun way to do it too.
Right. I was going to ask, you know, when it comes to like throwing crankbaits or and jerkbaits and whatnot, are you kind of focusing on certain areas such as like points, drop-offs, vegetative areas, that those types of things?
Good question. There's no shortage of points, both main points and secondary points on Del Hollow, where if you go to a neighboring lake like Center Hill, it's a long way between a lot of those points there, almost where it's a pain to do it if you're in a kayak. Whereas Del Hollow, you can just run, you can kind of pick any creek and you're probably going to have a number of secondary points and main mm-hmm. points. And they're all good. Those are all, you know, any twists and turns are good areas. So you can keep it simple and not overthink that and just run those secondary things and not worry about the in-between stuff. And you'd be just fine to be doing that. As far as what you're talking about for, especially people that haven't been to Del Hollow, overwhelmingly rock, multiple times of rock and sediment, you know, chunk rock, slate rock, table rock, gravel, boulder stuff. It's got it all. So you can kind of find, and sometimes they'll be on one thing or the other. I've even been surprised and found them on the absence of that, just on like mud stuff sometimes, which that's a little counterintuitive, but I can think of one day last year where I went out with a buddy. We were like, where are these fish? And we went over to that mud flat and we caught multiple species over there on a mud flat too. So lots of different rock. There is grass in Del Hollow. I was very surprised when I started on that lake. There is hydrilla. There's multiple types of grass in there. And it does grow year round. It does not grow everywhere year round and it does not grow fully grown year round, but there is grass in there all year. I will not say where it is. Grass is a valuable possession on that lake, and every angler knows that once you find some, you drop a waypoint, and whether it's there or not next year, at least you know that it likes to grow there. The grass grows on Del Hollow completely dependent on the water level because it's light penetration. You know, if the water's down, or if the water's down and grass is growing and then they bring the water up, that grass will probably die because it doesn't have the light penetration. So that's kind of your basis. That's why I say look at your water level and you can probably make a good guess as to how the grass has grown over the course of several weeks or months as you're coming into warm season. It's different every year, though. I haven't seen the same grass growth in the same height in the same exact same areas year after year. But if you can find grass and find a good bit of it on Del Hollow, there are fish around. That's a guarantee. And it grows deep too. It's not just like on the bank. Like you got to look for it. You got to use your electronics a little bit for the most part. Or maybe you pull up your lure and you're like, oh, look at that. That's a crispy piece of lettuce on the end of my lure. And make a note of that. It's a big deal. It's a big part of tournaments out there. It's not the end all be all. And it's not what you got to do every time out there. But it's a big deal. And if you're struggling to find a bite but know where grass is, you might as well stick around that grass. It's a good idea.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Definitely good tips.
Heck yeah. So, All right, man. Well, I wanted to, you know, just talk to you a little bit about what your upcoming season looks like, you know, what you have plans for this year and, you know, where all you're headed and what you hope to fish and, you know, where we can kind of follow along with that.
You know, I'm more excited about this season than I have been for any season for a few different reasons, kind of a two-part reason. One, I finally got my kayak set up how I want to. And what I mean by that is I'm in the kayak I want to be in. I'm in a Hobie PA. A 360 12. I'm in a PA 12.
I like the 12.
I intentionally picked the 12 over the 14. It's just a little bit less room in my truck, and I can meander through some tight quarters. I use it to my advantage. There's things that I do appreciate about a 14, but 12 is more for me. But I have slapped the Newport 180 on there, and I've got live scope, and both those things have been on my list for a long while now as far as what I knew I needed and wanted to add to that, especially when I get beat a few times in some tournaments here, and I know, like, man, that one tool was something that I really could have used. So I feel like I'm more equipped than I have been in years past, so hopefully I'm putting the fear in my competitor's hearts right now, letting them know that I'm coming back. I've been trying to talk a little trash to him, but I got live scope. Y'all better be worried.
He's dangerous, but now.
And schedule wise, like Hobie BOS series is the one that I always look at first, and I build my schedule around that one and trying to make the TOC. That's goal number one, and everything else kind of gets formed around that. And the Hobie BOS schedule this year is my favorite schedule so far, where it's really Cypress Swamp heavy. It's very, I call it Bubba fishing, where you're in a fishery where they have like really big fish, like not Dardanelle, not Table Rock. These are good places, but I'm talking like where you run into a double digit if you get lucky. Yes. And you're like big fish, you know. I like chasing those like XL size fish. Mm-hmm. My spring so far has been a week of fun fishing on the Kissimmee chain down in Florida, a week on the Harris chain for the Hobie BOS, which I was able to get third place there. That secured me my TOC spot for this year, which is one of the biggest goals.
Yeah, you did really good.
Awesome to knock that out right off the bat. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. It means that I can cherry pick my tournament schedule for the rest of the year in a big way. And then, you know, sets me up for a possible AOI push. I came home for a couple days after Florida. I did a regional event at Chickamauga. I blanked and got off the water early. That's how awful that one was for me. I don't care. I was just kind of going out there to practice for the upcoming one here in a couple days. We got the Bassmaster Kayak Championship there. That's kind of coinciding with the Bassmaster Classic festivities there. But I got that one coming up. I just got back from Cata that we discussed at the beginning here. That was a very fun one. Another, you know, spawn based tournament. Let's see. So Chickamauga this week, I go straight from Chickamauga to Sandy Cooper, South Carolina for a Hobie BOS. That's one of my favorite places too. Giant fish there. I've had good history there. Really looking forward to that one. I think the next one after that might be the Bass Nation Hartwell, Lake Hartwell in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Big, deep, clear water place. It's got giant largemouth and big spots. So it's kind of whatever your comfort zone is, that place has got them. But I've been there once, and I was a big fan of that one. I think that may be – I feel like I'm forgetting one, but that may be it for my spring. Then I'm going to take most of the summer off. I'm going to go and do the Hobie BOS at La Crosse in August. Uh-huh. So most of May, June, July, I'm not going to fish. I'm going to take a break from tournaments. And if I am going to fish, I'm probably just going to be teaching myself live scope or doing some guide trips. Mm-hmm. Now I'll do La Crosse, which is a good get away from the dog days of summer and perfect time to be up north, in my opinion. And I'm a big fan of that area too. I'm going to see if I can talk some friends into maybe going over to the Mille Lacs for some fun fishing or some other Minnesota waters, just some sneaky smallmouth stuff up there that people don't know about. And then after that, I think it's just waiting on TOC. I may go down to Sam Rayburn in September for the other Hobie series there, but I think that's it. There's some really good Bassmaster events. Of course, we're so lucky to have Steve Owens like running the Bassmaster side of things on the kayak world right now. And so all those events are going to be bangers this year, and I think we're going to have good attendance.
I'm going to attend my first one this year.
You should. They're all, I mean, so far they've been really good.
I'm doing the Possum Kingdom one.
That's going to hurt me that I'm not at that one, because all the chatter, especially from my Texas friends, are saying that that one's going to be a really good one. So,
I hope so. Like, I've already got my Airbnb booked. I got my time off. I just,
Texas, like, I'm learning now that I've been there a handful of times. Texas is, you can make a strong argument that that's the best capital, man.
Right.
Almost every lake I go to there, I'm like, wow, y'all are spoiled, man. Y'all got it. Y'all can catch biggins almost at will, it seems like, compared to, here you get excited about a 5-pounder on a lot of the fisheries around here, which is still a fun fish. But Texas, they don't bat an eye at a 7 or 8 pounder, it seems like. Yeah. So PK will be fun. That's a good one. I'll be watching that one, probably wishing I was there.
Nice.
Cool. That sounds like a fun schedule. Definitely wish you all luck. We'll be happy to see. Hopefully, we'll have you on the reel down, for at least one of those tournaments. And
I'd like it.
Yeah. So I wanted to give you a chance also to shout out where folks can follow along with you on social media, and also any sponsors that you wanted to cover too.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So on the social media, it's just Adam Reiser Fishing, AdamReiser Fishing, Instagram, Facebook. Feel free to reach out if you got any inquiries about guide trip stuff there. That's how, I don't have a website or anything, so you just holler at me and we'll talk out details or rates or whatever. As far as sponsor stuff, I'll just touch on more of the more timely and relevant things. One of them, Dugout Bait and Tackle, Marietta, Georgia. They're my shop sponsor. They got kind of anything and everything there. It's all encompassing, but they have really just set the standard as far as the best rigging that you'll find in the kayak industry. All the top kayakers that are getting their rigs set up for the beginning of the year, seems like they all run through Dugout, and it's such a popular thing. You got to make appointments. You can't just walk in there and be like, hey, Mr. Jamie Koza, can you rig this up? No, you got to call and probably make it out make it pretty in advance most times. But the good news is that they do it better. There's a lot of innovation going on there down there too. So it's not just the same stuff that you see on any YouTube video or stuff, as good or as helpful as that may be. There's a lot of wizardry going on down there. So it's really cool to see, and a good environment, and then everything else you need down there, latest, greatest, it's all there. There's a reason why you see the Dugout Bait and Tackle all over the place in our kayak world. I'm really excited about Yak Attack this year, because at the end of last year and then now this year, they are finally hitting some home runs with some overdue products that I've been newer in the works for a while, but are out there. So they came out with 3 different size black packs last year. They're all great. I literally use all 3 of them. I can't find anything wrong with it yet, and I have plenty of qualms with the old one. So I'm being honest when I say that new one really is like an impressive feat for them. Let's see. They got the new Hobie H-Rail. I'm blanking on the name of it right now, but that's going to be a big deal. You're going to have retailers just having trouble keeping those in stock, because everyone wants 10 or 12 of those to line their H-Rails with. So that's exciting. Yak Attack's got a 2 different carts coming out to cart around your kayak. And both of them have specific features and purposes, and are filling a lot of voids in the market for what's needed there. So that's exciting. So seeing Yak Attack come out strong, in addition to them already being a staple in our industry, that's been really cool. And it's been helpful and exciting to use those products this season so far. Like, you can tell by talking to me, I'm excited about my setup and how it's been. And it's all because of this culmination of teamwork between the sponsors. Dakota Lithium, they are making a name in a big way in the fishing and outdoor industry. I'm into supporting brands. I mean, if your product works, it works. It's a battery, man. You plug it in. Does your stuff turn on? Does it last? Let's be honest. That's all we care about, right? If it works and it powers our stuff, that's about all we need out of the battery. But it's a brand that supports the community and our industry and what we're about, and supports the anglers. So that's why that's an easy one to go to with that. Rogue Fishing, Rogue fishing, it got a lot of tether accessories, be it you're dragging your kayak around or the most important thing, keeping that phone tethered up. They've got some new stuff coming too. I don't know if I have the privilege to say enough yet, but there's some really exciting stuff. And for, again, what might be on the surface is simple products, there's a lot of clever innovation with that.
That one I actually might know a little bit about because I got a sneak peek of some of those products when Ethan came and stayed at my house this summer. So
Ethan's an employee at Rogue and a great angler in our community. So talk to Ethan Jett. He can probably let you in on a few things that I'm probably not at liberty to.
Can't spill beans just yet.
it's just been exciting having, like, you know, my affiliates and these companies that have that I've been with for a while now, having new things and doing it the right way, and it's all getting proven out there in the water for me. It makes it fun to use it and allows me to go out there and just catch my fish how I want to. So it's fun and exciting to see where it's going with all that stuff. So I'm just excited, man.
Very cool.
Excited for you.
Well, we'll be sorry to miss you down at Dale Hollow, but you know, here's to the next time we see you. You know, hopefully won't be too long, and looking forward to maybe sharing the water with you again sometime. So
yeah, it'll happen at some point, man. I'm always enjoy running the whole paddle and thin crew out there, so I try to see y'all when I can, at least some of the ones that live closer down here. But I know, like, a lot of that PA and Ohio crew, y'all make up a good chunk of that group out there. Who knows, maybe I'll be able to, like, sometimes I don't have as much work come Sundays in the summertime, so maybe it'll be a thing where I can, like, bust out there on a Sunday and just hang out or something if it looks like it. So I'll try, but everyone else should go. It's Dale Hollow. You know, Richard opened up that primitive camping for free there. There's plenty of room for that. Y'all can ask other people. I strung up my hammock there and just slept in my hammock there for that one tournament, and it was great. So y'all gonna have fun. Y'all already know this. Y'all are a couple years into it. Richard's taking care of everyone as always. So y'all gonna have fun.
That's right.
Oh man. Well, thanks again for coming on, Adam. I appreciate it. Definitely tons of great info for anybody looking to come down and fish with us. Open invite, you know, make sure you're calling now. Check in with Richard to, you know, if you're looking to book a cabin or a houseboat, you know, those are available too. But you want to call and book now. And then also remember that the camping is there for free. So, you know, it doesn't even have to be a budget breaker. I think that's a really good option too. So, and you know, the more the merrier. It's going to be a fun time. It always is. So definitely, I mean, both Susie and I have loved every moment of it pretty much. I really, other than losing Brian's rod, that's the only thing I can think of. And that was my fault.
Well, but, go catch it again. You just got to go to that spot. And
get I know about it. Where the spot was. And the saddest thing was that Brad Hurlboss is there, and he had live scope last year. And he's like scoping around with his live scope. He's like, nope, I don't see it. It's gone. I'm like, ah.
But already been caught.
And it was so funny too, because we were in shallow water that whole day. And then we finally get back close to the ramp, and that was the deepest part, and that's where I dropped it. If I would have dropped it any other place, I could have got it back, but I had to drop it in the 40-foot section of the water.
Of course.
But all good. Ancient past, you know, I definitely learned a lesson from that one. But again, Adam, thanks again so much, man. Definitely looking forward to having you on again and seeing you on the reel down. You know, I think that's going to happen. It sounds like, you know, you got you're already a beast to begin with. And when you level up all your equipment like that, and you're on like a similar plane with everybody else, I think it's going to be good things for you. So
that's just, you know, being confident in what you have too, you know, I can relate too, because this past, Saturday, I put a Newport motor on mine too, and I've only touched the water once this year before I had the motor put on it. So I'm gearing and ready to go. I'm like, all right, you know, I finally got this. Hopefully this will help me excel. And just, oh yeah.
I've had my motor for, I don't know, a month now. I think I've had it for about a month. I got Florida was the first time I used it. And it's been four, like 3 or 4 years. I had a Torquedo for a brief period of time. And I feel like it's like a new experience all over again, as mm-hmm. far as what I can run and check out. And that's just in the practices, you know, so, you know, in the tournaments where they allow the motors, like,
sure.
It's fun. It's impressive.
I'm curious. How are you guys doing steering on, you both are rocking Hobies. So foot steering. And like, where do you put that? Like, do you have pegs added? Cause there's no place, there's no pegs or anything in a Hobie.
This is going back to the Jamie Koza dugout wizardry. He's got some setups there where you can still utilize your horizontal rod storage in the Hobies while he installs an aftermarket foot steering slide rail kit thing in there. And so I steer with my feet, and I wouldn't do that any other way. That's the only way I care to steer. I only want a stern mounted motor. And foot steering is the only way I would even consider running a motor, personal preference, but, he's got a little way to do it down there. And, I believe Jamie said that, those new Yak Attack H-Rail, accessories are going to make his foot steering setup even better. Because when I told him that those were coming out and he saw those, he got excited because he already, I could see the wheels were spinning in his head as far as like, ooh, I'm going to utilize these to, you know, make it even cleaner, slicker, like more, but just a better setup. So,
I might get with you after the show here and ask you about that.
Please.
I hadn't even thought about, you know, like the steering capability. I just got the motor. That was step one, you know?
Sure.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks again, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Check out the show notes. I'll cover all of Adam's sponsors, his social media and stuff as well. If you're looking for a guide, obviously he definitely knows his way around Dale Hollow, and I can't think of anybody better to show you the ropes down there. And then also we'll put a few links to, I'll cover that, put a link to the long lining episode we did before. If you want to check that out, and put maybe a link for the Dale Hollow water level and some other information about Dale Hollow for anybody interested in checking that out. We'll get you guys all ready to come join us here on the Paddle and Fin Open, and looking forward to seeing you guys there. So,
good deal.
That's all right.
All right, guys. Well, this has been another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night.
Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.